Cassidy here. Welcome to UBS's Top of the Morning podcast. So today we are going to turn our focus back to the emerging markets and examine the factors that have driven performance in the asset class year to date. Plus, we will also highlight what might influence performance for the balance of the year and how to think about positioning at this time. So joining me here on the line for the podcast today, glad to welcome back Alejo Zarwanko. Alejo, as you know, is the Chief Investment Officer for Emerging Markets Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office. So Alejo, as always, it's great to be with you, and thank you for joining us on the Top of the Morning podcast today.
How are you, Dan? It's great to be here, and as usual, thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely, and Alejo, I know today we are going to be revolving our conversation around the October edition of the monthly Investing in Emerging Markets flagship publication, a title, by the way, is Fishing for Yield in Turbulent Political Waters, and I do want to point out to our listeners, and especially our clients, that you can now locate the publication up on UBS Online Services. Alejo, perhaps we can begin by taking inventory of how we got to where we are today. It is hard to believe that the third quarter, it's come and gone. So maybe, Alejo, you can do a recap for us in terms of emerging market asset performance year to date.
Of course, Dan. It's really unbelievable that we've gone through three quarters of the year already. And I have to say, all things considered, it's been a fairly good year for global financial assets and emerging market assets in particular. Within the emerging world, as I'm going to try to explain in turn, there's been huge return dispersion within asset classes, and that's been a pretty remarkable development. Starting with maybe the best performing asset class within emerging markets, dollar-denominated bonds. This asset class has delivered flat to slightly positive total returns so far this year, in many cases outperforming developed market counterparts. We've seen investment-grade bonds do a lot better than high-yield bonds in this space. Second up comes emerging market equities in dollar terms, minus 2% total returns year-to-date, trailing other regional equity markets. U.S. equities, European equities have delivered superior returns so far this year. But here's where dispersion is quite interesting to highlight. Looking at the Asia-Pacific region, the sub-asset class is up 7% total returns positive year-to-date, with some countries such as China and Taiwan delivering 15% total returns so far this year. This is, of course, superior than what we've seen, vastly superior than what we've seen in the United States and other global equity markets. What dragged down performance of emerging market equities has been Latin America and Eastern Europe, Middle East, and Africa. These two regions are down year to date between 20 and 30% in total return terms. Finally, then, when it comes to emerging market currencies, these are broadly down against the U.S. dollar so far this year, 5% down on average. However, there's also been big regional differences here as well, with Asia-Pacific currencies holding in fairly well and in some cases appreciating vis-a-vis the U.S. dollar, while Latin American, Eastern European, Middle Eastern, and African currencies sharply down year-to-date against the U.S. dollar. So to sum up, Dan, on aggregate, decent year for emerging market assets. When you look at the details, you see that Asia-Pacific has done very well, and the rest of the emerging world has trailed behind by a large margin.
Well, Alejo, that was a very helpful recap, so thank you for that to get our conversation started. So now that we have a good understanding of how we got to where we are today on a going forward basis, as we're quickly approaching the end of this year, Alejo, what are some key drivers of emerging market assets that one should monitor?
Of course, and look, without a doubt, COVID-19 and related developments will continue to influence the outlook for emerging market assets. In this regard, we are seeing that the emerging world is doing a little better in its efforts to contain the disease. Needless to say, Asia Pacific remains one step ahead of just about any other region in the world in terms of disease containment. But other harder hit regions such as Latin America have been doing a lot better in recent weeks, and there seems to be light at the end of the tunnel. In this regard, and quite related, economic fundamentals matter for asset prices into year end, in our view. And in this area, we have seen some solid improvements in high frequency economic indicators coming out of the emerging markets in recent months. Purchaser manager indices are up, in numbers for exports, imports, industrial production, displaying an improving trend, something that we think will continue into year end. However, as you know, political events look set to become a pretty considerable market driver in the weeks ahead. And these are mostly exogenous events for the emerging markets. We're talking about the U.S. election and also the Brexit saga. When it comes to the U.S. election in particular, whatever happens to U.S. fiscal policy matters greatly for emerging markets. And what we're seeing is a possible delay, probably into 2021 for additional meaningful fiscal stimulus measures in the U.S. And also, quite importantly for emerging markets, as he trails in the polls, President Donald Trump is taking a more adversarial posture vis-a-vis China in an effort probably to appeal to the nearly 70% of Americans that have a negative view on China. And therefore, this will likely inject some volatility into emerging market assets into the fourth quarter of this year. Now, history illustrates that emerging market assets do experience volatility and strong price moves around big political events such as the U.S. presidential election, as we explained in our recent Election Watch report titled Emerging Market Investment Implications of the 2020 U.S. Elections. Now, history also shows that these moves are short-lived, and we therefore advise investors to look past them. Look, beyond politics, then, investors need to remember that they will still need to deal with a long-lasting period of low nominal and real interest rates, confirmed by the fact that the Fed implemented a new monetary policy framework, giving itself more flexibility around the 2% target. So all in, these are some of the factors and some of the realities that investors will need to face into 2020 year end.
Alejo, in terms of this low yield environment that we're in today, how can emerging market investments help investors navigate through what we're experiencing?
Absolutely. We do think the emerging markets offer a number of attractive income-generating opportunities across asset classes, even in a volatile fourth quarter of the year. Starting off with credit, we maintain a high conviction that U.S. dollar-denominated bonds from the emerging markets will deliver good risk-adjusted returns in the coming months. This is both in absolute terms and also relative to competing credit segments. As a reminder, current valuations point to the asset class offering a 5% yield in U.S. dollar terms, and we think total returns might even be higher than that on the back of what we expect would be a 50 basis point spread compression in coming months for the asset class. I'm talking about the spread the asset class offers above U.S. Treasury securities. Within the realm of emerging market credit, particularly for those investors interested in sustainable investments, there are plenty of options in the emerging markets as well. And there's been one development that I wanted to flag. This month, Mexico became the first country in the world to issue a sovereign sustainable development goal bond. This is a bond that is linked to the UN's SDGs, right? The Sustainable Development Goals. As a reminder, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development adopted by all UN member states in 2015 defines 17 Sustainable Development Goals and calls, you know, to action in terms of pursuing this. Mexico, managed to do was issue a 750 million euro bond placement with the goal of pinpointing eligible projects, assets, and expenditures that are related to these SDGs or Sustainable Development Goals. Just a side note, Dan, on an important development in recent days. Let me just highlight the Russian market as an interesting yield-generating segment. We are talking about Russian equities with high dividend yield topping the rankings of dividend yield across the emerging world and, you know, very high globally. And it's this yield-generating potential together with attractive valuations and high exposure to cyclical sectors that we think should benefit from the global economic recovery that led us to upgrade Russia to our list of most preferred markets in the emerging world. And finally, we do find some opportunities within the currencies space. Even though we expect limited spot gains for emerging market currencies by year end, we think the dollar will continue to weaken into 2021, even against emerging market currencies. And some of them offer attractive yields through which, you know, you can get some combination of carry plus total returns, including the Russian ruble itself, the Indonesian rupiah, the Indian rupee, among others.
Before we close out, and do appreciate all of the ground that you've covered with our listeners on this topic today, but perhaps any final thoughts and or takeaways or anything else, Alejo, that you would like to highlight?
I would just highlight that we cover a variety of topics in the report. We do feature an economy section in which we analyze the diverging outlook between the two largest Latin American economies, Mexico and Brazil. These two countries have mismanaged the pandemic badly, right? Now, the economic approach to dealing with this shock has been very different. While Brazil adopted a more counter-cyclical fiscal and monetary policy, Mexico adopted a more pro-cyclical a fiscal and monetary policy. And we think, you know, the economic recovery in Brazil as a result will be faster than that of Mexico in coming quarters with relevant investment implications. And finally, Dan, on the focus section of the report, we dive deep into emerging markets, explaining some of the segments within the asset class that we prefer. Russian equities, as I highlighted before, we still think Indian equities have an attractive risk-reward profile in coming months. And, you know, again, for the sustainable investing inclined reader, we highlight the value in emerging market ESG stocks more broadly.
Well, Alejo Zarwanko, terrific catching up with you on the Top of the Morning podcast today, and thank you for dropping by to walk our listeners through the monthly flagship, Investing in Emerging Markets. Again, that title, Fishing for Yield in Turbulent Political Waters. That publication, again, can be located up on UBS Online Services. Though, if you are a client of UBS, I strongly encourage that you reach out to your financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy of that publication directly. But Alejo, again, great catching up.
Thank you, Dan. Have a great day.
And again, today we have been joined by Alejo Zarwanko, Chief Investment Officer for Emerging Markets Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office. Top of the Morning. We'll be back again for you tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everyone.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.